With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey, road trippers, as the season gets tipped off this week, will you be using the Sleeper app for daily fantasy basketball? We will. You've heard our road trip and season preview shows, and you know how we like to have a hot start to the season. So get some skin in the game and start playing fantasy basketball on the Sleeper app. Turn your basketball knowledge into real money with the Sleeper app. It's the ultimate fantasy sports app that can turn game day into payday. Just download the Sleeper app and pick more or less on your favorite players. With more stats than any other fantasy app, just choose two or more of your favorite players from either pregame or live. Pick more or less from the predicted stats, and you could win up to 100 times your money if your picks win. Download and sign up on the Sleeper app today. Use our promo code ROADTRIPPIN, and you'll get up to a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Sleeper is currently operational in over 25 states. Check out Sleeper today. All right, welcome back to this edition of Road Trippin'. Buckle up. Channing Frye just ended last episode yesterday saying that if there is a team in the Western Conference that could knock off the Denver Nuggets, it would be the Los Angeles Clippers. So having said that, it is year five for Kawhi and PG-13, that era here in Los Angeles. Russ obviously playing much better when he joined them last season at the trade deadline. If Kawhi is healthy, is this team a title contender? Having said that, I didn't even need to say that, and Channing feels that they're the best team to knock off the Denver Nuggets. So
I said the sleeper team, not the best team. I said a sleeper team. I think we have seen. Now, here's this. It's a huge what if. When Kawhi Leonard is healthy, he is a top three player in the NBA. He gets it done. Defensively, that team is on point. When Kawhi Leonard was healthy, he is a top three to five. I'll give you five. Top three to five player in the NBA, and he is a monster in the playoffs. I don't know what happens to him. He, you know, uploads different software into the cyborg body, but he goes crazy. PG is another great two-way player. I think Russ is rebuilt this year. I think they have a good size. Obviously, I like the coach. They have good injection of youth. So I'm just saying, I like that.
But if they get James Harden. Okay, let's rewind it. So let's put the Denver Nuggets as number one. Lakers, Golden State, and I know Sacramento fans are going to be upset, but I need to see more than a first-round loss before we start having this conversation respectfully. Yeah, Phoenix, Golden State, Clippers, and the Lakers. Those four teams, in my opinion, none of them have the things to whoop the Denver Nuggets ass. None of them have those things, right? Even with Anthony Davis, even with I think in the Eastern Conference, they have a little bit more. If you, Joel Embiid's team is not going to be worth anything, but if Boston or Milwaukee, those teams match up far better with Jokic. No one in the West. Anthony Davis can do that. The question is, will any of those teams be able to hit three-pointers at the rate that they need to offset Jokic? If they can hit three-pointers at the rate to offset Jokic, then they have a team, right? Like, go back to our Golden State, go back to our Cleveland team. As much as Golden State Warriors were that team, if you go back and look at the history books and the way we had shooting on that Cleveland team, it was fucking ridiculous. JR, Channing, Kevin, like Kyrie, we had so much shooting that, like, we shot the Atlanta Hawks out of they didn't even belong on the court. We were just out shooting teams. There was one team that we could not outshoot, and that was the Golden State Warriors. And once we figured out our defense, that helped us kind of battle through it. So I don't think that all of those teams have the equal amount of chance But it all hinges on, in my opinion, how many threes that they can hit to offset Jokic, because they don't. No one in the Eastern Conference can compete with Jokic. Anthony Davis had an outstanding series, and Jokic was just obviously the better player. Anthony Davis might have been the third best player in the NBA playoffs last year. Might have been the third best player, second best player. But there was a substantial difference between what Jokic was able to do and what he was able to do. So using that, the only way, if you have him, and then if they shoot the piss out the ball, then they can beat him. But that's the only way to offset Jokic. Milwaukee can offset him because they have the size. Without the, if they shoot the ball okay, they have the size because they could get him in foul trouble. If you play Brook Lopez and him, you might be able to do something. Same with Boston. They have the shooting and the size to at least have bodies on him, maybe get him in foul trouble. But if you're not going at him in pick and rolls, you're no one in the Eastern or in the Western Conference can post up Jokic. No one. Who can post up Jokic? Who has a big that you're going to throw to? Maybe get him into foul trouble. Maybe no one. Because don't forget, when he's on the court, they have a historic offense. When he's off the court, they are historically bad. So me, playing in the 90s and in the early 2000s, you used to target those guys to get him in foul trouble, and it's not just pick and roll, right? So that's my thing. I think all four of those teams have the equal chance to offset them, but none of them is the clear cut, oh, this team is a team built. You put Milwaukee and Boston in the Western Conference, and you say these two teams will give them the run for their money, if not even just being better.
What big in the last decade? So I'm actually going to go back to 2010.
Okay.
What big could have competed with Nikola Jokic?
Oh. Dirk.
Who?
Dirk.
Prime Dirk when they won the championship. Prime Dirk. Prime Dirk. But they would have probably had Aaron Gordon guarding him, and then they would have had Aaron Gordon. Now let's go. What I would say is the only bigs are,
Embiid, Pau Gasol,
Zebo would have been a problem, but they would have had Aaron Gordon guarding him, right? Yeah. So that's where that's why for him, if you go back and look at Jokic's success, they had Paul Millsap, they had Jeremy Grant, and they had Aaron Gordon. They need a super athletic defensive space the floor. Dwight Howard in 2010? Let me put it this way. In 2010, Aaron Gordon wasn't doing shit with Dwight Howard. They were going to... No.
They would have the kind of player you need for Nikola Jokic now.
In their prime. And that's the Embiid.
You need somebody who's on the top 75 list. You need a monster. Now, well,
Anthony Davis is on that list. And we're not saying that he can compete.
No, we think he can, but you just need shooting, so much shooting to offset him. Because we can say he can compete, but we could all sit here and say, if Anthony Davis wins the Jokic matchup, the Lakers win in a sweep, right? The Lakers win in a sweep if he outperforms Jokic. But I don't think there's many basketball people that are going to go into a series and think that Anthony Davis is going to outperform him. So given that, if we're like Jokic is at 100, Anthony Davis is 80%. How do we clean up that other 20? How do we match up with them in a different way? So it's only 3-point shooting or having someone that can attack them. Giannis can do that. Embiid can do that. And I think Boston Celtics, with the amount that they have, can cause problems.
All right. So then this is more of an NBA preview, and we just started there with the Clippers. So let's go to then Milwaukee. Giannis and Dame. What does the early season assignment look like for the Bucks?
You stay healthy. Find somebody to help on that bench.
Chris Middleton.
Get healthy. Learn each other. Like, figure out what teams are going to do. To me, I'm not worried about your record, right? You got to practice during the games and practice and see what everyone is going to do so that Giannis and Dame have time to adjust, watch film, and to perfect their 1-2 game. Their bench, like Brook Lopez is 36. Bobby Portis is getting old, right? They didn't get younger. They got older. So who's going to stay healthy? Who's going to be that burst of energy off the bench? I still think they need to go get a vet who hasn't won yet that's going to come in there and rile them up, you know, like mm-hmm. Bobby Portis was for them when they got Bobby Portis.
No, I did. But P.J. Tucker, I think people forget how big P.J. Tucker was, oh, right? P.J. Tucker was for the Milwaukee Bucks, whether in intensity, whether it was a fire, defense, all the little things. He wasn't out there to score. He was out there to compete. I think Bruce Brown is kind of like, that's where people are like, is Bruce Brown and PJ Tucker, are they similar when they take them off of that roster? I think a lot of people are curious about losing Marcus Smart in Boston. When you take these kind of energy soul players that really just keep your engine revving for the whole year and will challenge people inside the locker room and just be hyper competitive and really just a fill in the gap guy. Right. Like, you know, I think we joke about it, but Channing and I were like two guys that filled in the gap. You needed big shooting, go with Channing. You needed small, like speed and defense, you come with me. I think when you look at that, you would say that, you know, Marcus Smart, PJ Tucker, Bruce Brown, these are fill in the gaps guys. And so that's where you're like, well, who's going to fill in the gap? I don't know if Milwaukee has a guy like that. So for them, they're going to win some games because it's just like, holy shit, you got Dame Lillard on your team. But they're also going to lose some games because they're making mistakes. And don't forget, they lost that series because of a lot of late game fourth quarter plays. That's where Milwaukee lost that Miami series. And so that's the area that you can only really work on when you're in that moment. But they have this guy named Dame Time, who is historically known as a top 75 player because of that.
He's pretty good.
Well, Chris Middleton's health, right? You think Malik Beasley's going to have to step up? I like Cameron Payne coming off the bench. But realistically, like, they're pretty old. They are old.
Yeah, but age wasn't their issue. Well, Chris Middleton has to return to that form.
Oh, yeah. You got to get
going. But you don't need him as much now with Dame. You don't need him because that's when they won the championship. He was handling the ball, making the plays. He was so clutch late in games in that postseason run. You don't need that from him now. He can be more of a third guy versus like a 2A, 2B, yeah. Right? He's the clear-cut third, and there's a big gap between 2 and 3. There's going to be a lot – big. No, that's not to disrespect. I'm just saying there's a big gap between 2 and 3.
Remember when you said that Giannis was
what, Pippen? Yeah. Oh, I don't mind that. I don't look. You are look, but wait a second. But wait a second. You are I stand by it. You are a Pippen until proven otherwise. And we can say and look, obviously he has ascended. Yeah. But my point is even in that championship run, we know that Giannis gave that 50 piece. We know all the things that he did. But when we look at why they won, it was the performance by Drew Holiday. It was a performance by Chris Middleton. That's where everyone's like, they need Chris Middleton back to that level because they got those closers, right? And even when I said he might be a Pippen, right now, I probably messed it up because we were talking. It was Shaq. He's the Shaq. And now he has his Kobe. That's what it is. He has his Kobe. Now, they're older. Our Dame's a little bit older in the window, but Kobe was one of the greatest late-game athletes in American sports history. Dame is one of the greatest in basketball, and now he has a chance to do it in sports history and be one of those guys.
Fair. You know a team that we do not really talk about a lot, but Channing
Brown? Probably for a reason.
No. Where do the Grizzlies finish? Losing Steven Adams now for the season, no job for the first 25 games. Having said that, if you're just joining, obviously, Richard Jefferson, Allie Clifton, Richard Sperman, Channing Frye. Where do we go? Marcus Smart now obviously on the team. Where do you have the Grizzlies?
I am seventh. I think they make
playing.
I think Jaren Jackson Jr. doesn't rebound that well. That was the thing that for them to get out and run. Steven Adams was absorbing those rebounds just one after another, getting up, kicking, spacing.
Transition. He would secure that ball, and then John transition was unstoppable. Then Bane with the shooting. They added some more shooting because, yeah, they were a problem. I'm with Channing. I have them as a six, and they're one of those teams that are dangerous as a six because let's say Phoenix is the three. Phoenix is the three, and then like they get Ja back, and they're the six. But they're not a real six. This is a team that could be a one or two seed like when they have everybody going. So that's the thing for me.
Yeah, I like them getting Marcus Smart, right? I think he's going to be great for them, again, defensively. Desmond Bane, you saw a little bit of what he could do last year at the beginning where he was going crazy. Can he replicate that? Right? Can they get stops and get out and run and get in transition? I like their guards, but you know, they are very thin on the bench.
Channing, last episode, you have Cleveland as a sleeper team.
For sure. I have Cleveland as a sleeper team because I think last year they fell in love with watching Donovan Mitchell, right? I think he's going to be him, and they were like, here, go win us this game. Here, go win us this game. And then in the playoffs, they took Donovan Mitchell away, and everyone's like, they forgot how to play basketball. So I think this year, their maturity, I think you look at what they've addressed, their shooting, Max Strus, Georges Niang, which is the funniest picture on the internet going around right now. It is hilarious.
I haven't seen it. What is it?
Why is it so?
No. What is it?
I feel a clip. Well, let's just say his nickname is what? The Nick minivan? Pickle? No, the minivan. That's his nickname.
The minivan?
I need to see what's the clip?
Oh, hold on. I'm going to do it to you right now.
Is it funny?
It is so funny.
Am I going to get it?
Well, yes. Don't say anything, Jenny. Just send it.
Why does he look like this? He's playing in the NBA?
It's a bad picture. We asked. It's a bad picture.
Wait, what do you take away? What's the truth?
Dude, he's not that big.
What do you mean he's not that? Did someone Photoshop this? This is a real photo. I'll be the judge if it's bad or not. Is this a real photo?
Yes.
Not Photoshopped.
Yes, not Photoshopped.
And he's playing in the National Basketball Association.
And he's not named Zion.
Or Kenny Lofton Jr.
Well, okay. So let me just say this. This is where I have Cleveland. We had those first five teams. And then I have the next five teams that I would say that fall in the same line. Like, do you remember when Dallas made the conference finals because they upset Phoenix? Do you remember when Atlanta made the conference finals? Those are the teams that, like, they could probably do something. I would put Cleveland in that. I would put Philly in that. I would put...
You saw Philly just let go of Montrezl Harrell.
No, Montrez is coming back from an ACL. I saw him here. No. So he's
shorts rehabbing. Don't even fit.
They probably had the wrong size. But I put... Ali's still stuck on this, understandably so.
The minivan is such a funny nickname, dude.
So, okay. So
like
the other team...
Noodle, the bug. Sorry. Volkswagen bug. Sorry, I'm back.
Yes.
Act like you're not ever like this. Jesus.
No, I understand.
It's like you go to the park, Richard, and somebody has the full fit and they put it on and took a picture. It's like a dance league on Sundays. And he got the whole fit on. Dude, that's so funny. It's
okay. I digress.
Okay. So the teams that are in that next tier, Knicks, Cleveland, Philly, Sacramento, Memphis. Like, these are all teams that can make it to the conference finals, but I don't think, like, unless you are currently a fan of them, right? Unless you are a fan of them, then I don't see a lot of people that follow the game picking them as like, oh, I think these teams are conference finals teams because of the amount of talent that's in front of them.
Where do you have Miami? I'm very curious about them this year.
Well, I don't know. Well, this is the thing. They lost out on Giannis if Giannis signs the extension. They didn't get Drew Holiday. They weren't able to get Dame Lillard. So I'm going to sit up here and say Pat Riley has a plan, but very similar to the Phoenix Suns. We're just going to have to wait and see.
He needs to go play for Pat Riley. That would all change. That would not be his. I'm so beside myself. Dude. More likely to get traded mid-year, Donovan Mitchell or DeMar DeRozan?
Oh, DeMar DeRozan. No, Donovan Mitchell. They're building around Donovan, like, long-term. Yeah. DeMar. And that's another thing. Look, you can get DeMar in Miami if that was possible, but I think, he's such an elite scorer, but I don't think he's the shooting that they would need.
You know,
but, yeah, DeMar's on the trade block.
Talk about people who – like, I think need another change of scenery is Zach LaVine.
Mm.
Like, he's so talented. It, like, hurts watching him.
He needs to be the third best player.
Oh, hey. New York would be nasty. If they don't get Donovan Mitchell, you go get Zach LaVine. So, yeah, Brunson, LaVine.
Julius. Barrett.
They're looking for, I would say this, the Knicks, Julius Randle is a very good player, obviously all NBA, all-star guy. you know, but I think they're looking for an upgrade. And whatever that upgrade is, they're not looking for an upgraded point guard. They're looking for an upgraded every other position than point guard. Let the record show. And I think if Brunson is their best player or right there at that, they need one more player that is either at their level or above them in order for them to be true consistent contenders. If you were able to make Randall your third best player and be the Chris Bosh, be the Kevin Love, now you're cooking with something. Right now, they're a very, very competitive team that has a bright future because their stars are young. They have all of their assets. They have all of their trade equity. So it's like, to me, they're in a position to strike when ready.
Yeah, another sleeper team that we are not talking about is the Indiana Pacers. I think they're going to have a great year this year.
What's great?
I think if they can stay healthy, right? I think Tyrese Halliburton's one of my favorite players to watch. Buddy Hill's one of the best shooters that nobody knows. Like, they have a young team, right? Carlisle is, once he's starting to understand his players and build his team around his style of playing, he consistently wins, right?
He's a very good coach.
Very good coach. So he's going to get the most out of that team. And when you have a guy who plays like Jason Kidd, good things are going to happen, right?
And he's got that energy. Tyrese is one of those guys that, like, he always plays with a smile on his face. And don't mistake kindness for weakness. Hyper-competitive, hyper-intelligent. But he just is one of those guys that you step on the court and you want to play with, right? He gets you those extra passes. He's one of those guys that if you look back in your career, you'll average more points when you play with him than when you don't, right? Yeah. Like, he's one of those guys. I would put, you know, the Jason Kidd, the Chris Pauls, the Steve Nashes. Like, he has a chance to be in that category from what the way he approaches the game and plays and team first, and just he's just very, very good. But I still think that they are a dominant player away. Like, if you look at any other team, they've got a dominant guy that's just not a scorer distributor. Everybody else has a dominant player. So I think they are a team that could make the postseason this year. I don't question that.
Okay. Via the play-in?
Yeah. Via the play-in, yeah. If you told me they were sixth, okay. If you told me that they were six, seven, or eight, okay. So they could be the sixth team, but just understand every year we see the same thing. There's always a team that has a Golden State Warriors type year. There's always a team that has a Sacramento type year that comes out of nowhere. Even you can go a step further and say Utah that came out of nowhere. A couple years ago was the Cavs during the regular season. So Indiana falls in that line.
I want to give you guys a truth or trash surrounding the Boston Celtics, but first I want to spice it up with a different fun truth or trash. Dennis Smith Jr. is right. A hot dog is not a sandwich, but it is a taco. Truth or trash?
That's trash. Don't disrespect fucking tacos.
Don't disrespect. Look.
Tacos with glizzies? No.
As a person that is that has grown up very close to the Mexican culture, in Arizona, we are step Mexicans, if you will, Channing and I, right?
That's a new one.
All I'm saying is that don't disrespect their culture. Like, if they wouldn't call it that, then I'm not going to call it that. So no, that a hot dog is closer to a sandwich than anything else. It is definitely, it is. What was the, like, they're like, no, it's a hot dog. It's like a hot dog is a sandwich. Like, that's all it is.
You think a hot dog is a sandwich?
Well, yeah, it's between two pieces of bread and it's meat. Like, it's
normally the bread isn't connected.
But a pita isn't. A pita is connected. What is a pita? A pita is a pita. Is a pita a sandwich?
Pita is not a taco. Listen,
it's not a taco, but it's like the same as a tortilla.
I will say this: the best taco versus the best hot dog is not even close. Is not even close.
Say it.
The best hot dog versus the best taco. The taco dookies.
You've never had a good hot dog then.
God, you just over here gobbling glizzies, Allison. Good Lord. No, it's a hot dog. It's a weird piece of meat in between some buns.
I hate that we're having this conversation. I hate this conversation.
You're not focused or locked in, so it's okay. Having said that, as you stare straight through our souls through your computer.
I'm like, we're talking about tacos and hot dogs because of Dennis Smith.
You just sent me a picture of someone that clearly needs... Okay. Truth or trash, this Celtics lineup with Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday is better than last year's Celtics roster.
Trash. Quick trash. They literally were one ankle away from beating the Miami Heat. True. If Jason Tatum doesn't twist his ankle the first play of the game, they have a
for the NBA Finals. Jason Tatum is – okay. Lil Rich just bought some Jason Tatum shoes, so just understand this. Please support Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum also had some huge duds in that postseason that he addressed, and he had some 50, 40. He was ball. It was just a little bit like hot and cold for him, right? Like a little bit. And I think he's still growing into that, but like, no, I can't say, oh, if they don't sprain that ankle, like they were still down 3-0. Like, let's make no mistake. Like, there was a lot of basketball going on that they were trying to figure out how to get him going. I think this Celtics team has, you knew what you were going to get with the other teams. I think Porzingis, if he's healthy, I think adding Drew Holiday, that was a surprise. That was the thing that made it different because they lost Marcus Smart and they got Porzingis. And everyone's like, eh. Then Drew Holiday came on the board and you were able to replace that top level defense. Because they were like, oh, yeah, it's easy to play defense when your front line is Marcus Smart setting it up. And then that back line has shot blocking. You don't have that. Well, now they've got maybe I personally think Drew Holiday is a better defender than one-on-one against guards. I think he's better. I think Marcus Smart is a better kind of off-ball random defender, right? But on ball, Drew Holiday is probably the best in the league, pound for pound, right? There's guys like Kawhi that are bigger than him, stuff Giannis bigger, but like pound for pound, he's as good as they come, even better than Marcus Smart. So I think that is the part that helps them. If we got to negate the trade and say, is it better? You just added an all-star in his prime at the guard spot. So, and he's a much better offensive player than Marcus Smart, right? So you add that now, you basically added a better offensive version of Marcus Smart, and then you got Porzingis. So I love that.
I still think that team last year was very good, but
very.
I get your point.
Richard, you're calling Victor Wembanyama's game tonight. How excited are you?
Look, I think anybody that listens to us knows that we're a bunch of basketball nerds. It doesn't matter if it's the history. It doesn't matter if it's the last 20 years, it's 40 years. So to be a part of like a special night is like calling LeBron's first game. It's like calling Shaq's first game. Like, you don't know how this story is ending, but you know the beginning of this story is a fucking fairy tale, right? He is so different. When you have people just don't understand. Like, you guys as fans, let me just give you who Wembanyama is. NBA players and fans look at him the same way. Like, put that in perspective, right? You have
say that, like, one more time.
NBA players and fans look at him the same way. There is nothing on the basketball court that Channing and I have not seen. There's nothing. All of us are like, this guy's tall, oh, guy, this guy's athletic. He has a combination of things, and that's why you're seeing reactions, because NBA players are really getting him for the first time. So you're seeing the stuff, and you're like, this is not normal. Nutmegging people, dropping passes, crossovers around the bed. 7'4" doing that, bro. He's blocking shots from inside the paint. I saw Wiggins hit him with all of the whippity-wop and try and get – you can't get – let me rephrase this. You can't get a pull-up off on him. There's never been a player since ever in the history of the game that you couldn't get a pull-up jumper off. Get him moving back, and then you step back. Man, no. He's so special, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Pop manages him. I'm looking forward to seeing what this is going to be.
Yeah, boy. It's going to be his – and what's crazy is the way he moves defensively, that's 3 years ahead – I think you heard Paul George talk about him on his podcast. He was like, I thought it would take him a couple of years, but he doing stuff already in preseason that is like, he's not even from when he came over here at Summer League, where he said, I don't know the rules really, right? Because I've been playing overseas in France. So July, August, September, October, that's 4 months He has been playing NBA basketball. And this is what we see. What's going to happen in
the only six thing that months? Can stop the only thing that can stop him is health. That's the only thing.
I just wanted to know if you guys agree with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
We're going to just say no. Let's just say no off the
that drop. They say he is a top five most skilled player in the NBA right now.
What? No.
No. Huh? Yes. Yes, I'd agree. When I say top five,
top five?
If you're talking about combination, and skills are different. Like, it's weird. It's how you identify skills. Is there a big that can do what he does? Zero. Is there a 6'11 person that can do what he does? Yes. Right? There's Giannis. There's Kevin Durant. Like, a variation, right? Of kind of, he's pretty much a combination of Giannis and Kevin Durant at this point in time with a handle that's probably a little bit more similar to, like, a guard. I can't name him, but... You know, he is a top five talent. I think instead of like saying like skill, because skill would put him in the boat of like Kyrie, would put him in the boat of Luka, like LeBron, yeah. Jokic. He's not there yet, but he's a top five talent. Yeah, same with like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was a top five talent the minute he showed up. So I think he falls in that same boat.
He might be the most talented player in the whole NBA right now. Like his...
Talent ceiling? No, his talent ceiling is we've never seen before. There's like everyone else. It doesn't matter if you're Kareem. It doesn't matter if you're Shaq, LeBron. Everyone else now is a B, and he has a talent level to go to an A. And it's purely because of his size. It's purely because of his skill. But that's just the reality of it.
Disposition also. Like a lot of guys come in here like, oh, I'm just a shooter or I'm just a rebounder. He's a defender. Shooter, rebounder, score. He's 18 years old.
Really quickly, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. For all the people that were questioning me when I said if him and LeBron James were both coming in the exact same draft. Now, obviously, we know what LeBron is. But if both of these guys were 19 years old and we knew how hype LeBron is, you're taking Wembanyama. Like, yeah. If Shaq and Wembanyama came in the same draft, you're taking Wembanyama. There is no variation that you're not going to take Wembanyama in the history. Now, especially that we've seen him play five games, Show me somebody else that you would take over him to start. We don't know how it's going to end, but to start, there's never been anybody like him.
That's actually a great discussion for the next episode. Hold that thought. Okay. All right. Another edition of Road Trip.